Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Moment here for Griezmann, and he keeps his cool and scores. It's the away goal for Atletico Madrid.
I'm Des Kelly, and this is the Champions League podcast. On Wednesday night, Manchester City travel to the Bernabeu to face Real Madrid in their bid to become the first English side to make the final since Chelsea in 2012. Joining me for the best BT Sport insight and analysis were Gary Lineker, Rio Ferdinand and Steve McManaman.
And now Bale is onside and he's got lots to pick out. He doesn't need anybody because he can pick out the top corner like that. And Gareth Bale fires Real Madrid ahead. The masters in this competition are heading back to the final.
Cristiano, congratulations, Champions League final. What did you make of the performance tonight?
Well, it was a tough game. But I think we play better than City. We create more chances in the first half and the second half. We are more intense. We knew that after the goal that City will press high to us. But I think we control all the game. 1-0 was short results, but we are happy. We are in the final, and we are happy for that.
Congratulations, Gareth. It was a bit tight, a bit tense, but you got there.
Yeah, semi-finals always seem to be that way. You never see anyone win by a big scoreline, but the only thing that matters, we got the goal and we kept a clean sheet and we're in the final. So we're obviously very, very happy and looking forward to it. The reason I came here was to win Champions Leagues. I've got one already and a chance to win another one now. So yeah, obviously it's great to be in the final again, but there's another game to go against a very difficult, stubborn Atletico Madrid team, and we'll be going there giving it our all.
Well, the Real Madrid fans are enjoying this. They've made another final, a repeat, of course, of the final 2 years ago against Atletico Madrid. Not to be for Manchester City. They certainly tried in that second half. Aguero went close with that long shot, didn't he? But that was really about it for Manchester City. Not too much threat. Real Madrid looking far more dangerous on the break. They're a giant of a club, and they're after their 11th Champions League. But they'll have to beat a very durable Atletico Madrid if they're to do it. Manchester City fans are applauding their players. They've made the trip here, supported them well. But it wasn't to be. It's Real Madrid's night. And Rio Ferdinand overall, over the two legs. Only the one single goal, and that was a deflection, but they probably deserved it.
Yeah, the first leg was cat and mouse. This leg, Real Madrid really showed a team of experience, really understanding that it's the final one. At the end of this, they grasped that quickly, took the team more determined, had the hunger, and the players like Bale, Ronaldo, these guys to really take the occasion and enjoy this occasion. I think the problem with the Manchester City fans, I think the players will look like their players really didn't grasp the occasion, let this occasion pass them by, and that's a disappointing thing for Manchester City.
Well, they've gone further in the competition than they've ever been before, Manchester City, and it's another experience for some of their players. I suppose that's all they can really take out of it, a learning curve.
Yes, it is, Gary, and they'll come back stronger because of this. They've been a wonderful occasion. They've enjoyed the game tonight, but as Owen Hargreaves said, over two legs, they just didn't do enough, did they? They didn't do enough at home last week. And when you have to come here and get a result, it's very difficult, as everybody's shown. Real Madrid haven't conceded here in the Champions League all year. And they've won. They always make chances, and they've won. They've won quite comfortably, albeit they got a little bit nervy near the end because of only the one goal. I thought they were more than comfortable, Madrid.
Yeah, the poor Manchester City fans there. It's a devastating feeling to go that close. But, you know, the interesting thing of all the stats that I saw there, apart from obviously just the one goal, was that Manchester City, not a single shot on target in 90 minutes there, really.
Exactly. If you're going to go out, you want to go out all guns blazing, fighting, thinking, you know, we've given everything we've got. We've thrown the kitchen sink at it. And today, I don't think they'll be able to go home or go in the change room and say they've done that. And that's a disappointing thing, because when you wake up tomorrow, you'll think, you know what? I was that close. Yeah. One game away.
I was surprised they didn't go a bit more direct, you know, because it wasn't working. They couldn't get through Real Madrid's defence or the midfield. They were really comfortable in there, the Real Madrid midfield. So as Owen Argues said on numerous occasions, just stick one over the top, stick one over the top, and let's cause a little bit of chaos. And they just, you know, they never did enough. They had forwards on of real good quality, but there was no threatening point at any stage.
They didn't do enough to win this game over two legs. They didn't create opportunities here. They didn't show a desire, a belief to go and win this. And they stood off Real Madrid. And you do that against quality teams, you don't deserve really to go through.
I suppose in many ways, only one goal at 180 minutes there, Steve. Yeah. And it was a degree fortuitous, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was. Of course it was. And, you know, we mentioned in the first half, no pressure on the ball at all. Otamendi's trying to play offside, but he left Gareth Bale well onside. And yeah, there was a big, big deflection, wasn't it, on Fernando? But this was all too easy, and this was symptomatic of the first half, and even to the second half to a certain extent. Simple run, not getting picked up, and that little lapse in concentration, not going with your man, ends up him having to make a last-ditch slide tackle, and then it flies into the net. If he would have been a bit closer and followed Gareth Bale, he probably would have ushered him out of play, no problem at all. But that little tiny, little bit going to sleep, results in that lunge, and that Joe Hart had no chance.
It hurts even more when you don't really push yourself. Your team, you're playing within yourself. You're not on the front foot. You don't grasp the occasion, and that'll be sickening. On the flight home, these guys will sit back and reflect and be very disappointed just from that aspect alone.
Yeah. Last week at home, they didn't make enough chances, did they? Mm-hmm. I think it was the De Bruyne one at the end, which was a simple one to Keylor Navas in last week's game, the easy free kick. And then tonight, you wanted them to, even in the last 10 minutes, we were going wards, getting the nerve.
Yeah, get some people forward, have a go.
Yeah, stick the centre.
I suppose Aguero had a go, didn't he, from about 25 yards, and what a hit.
It was a lovely hit, but Gary, it didn't threaten the goal. It looked great, and it was a lovely strike. And he kept on coming deeper and deeper and deeper, so he cut a real frustrated figure tonight, Kun Aguero. But when it doesn't threaten the goal, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter at all.
But I think that the whole stadium went silent for that split second, because it looked like it was going in as soon as it left his boot, but just not enough.
Yeah, I wanted them to, you know, go down with a fight. You know, that's why I said put Otamendi up front for the last 10 minutes, put Mangala up front, just cause a little bit of chaos. Yeah.
I suppose if you're going to lose, have no regrets.
Have no regrets for it, and you know that lack of real will at the end. That's why they'll be very frustrated. They'll think we could have done more tonight. We could have done more.
Real Madrid had a 1v1, Bale hit the crossbar, Ronaldo had a couple of half chances, so there were opportunities given up, but again, the fight wasn't there. I mean, Modric ran the show from midfield, not one glove put on him, no one got near him at all, and I mean,
there was always options for Madrid to find another Madrid player, always. There was not enough pressure on the ball today. There wasn't really any. The Lucas Vazquez challenge on Raheem Sterling was a terrible challenge.
But that's a red card, definitely, in
and
my
a real,
eyes.
A real ridiculous, and that could have cost Real Madrid. It didn't, but that could have easily cost them. A real reckless situation and very, very uncalled for. But apart from that, I thought that with no Casemiro being there, and we all thought it was going to play a big part, I thought they had to be more physical. Not dirty, but they needed to be more physical on Real Madrid. Yeah.
Pellegrini is leaving at the end of the season. Guardiola's coming in. Do you think it's perhaps had effect on both Bayern Munich and Manchester City, the fact that their managers are leaving? I mean, Manchester City now under pressure to qualify for next season's Champions League.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in terms of Manchester City, I think since Pellegrini's gone now, I think they've gone backwards for me. They were a much more impressive team. They were a big, solid unit, lots of cohesion, played very, very industrious football going forward, and were very, very solid at the back, and I don't think they're that anymore. And so Pep Guardiola, I think, has got a huge job on his hands coming here. It's not going to be the type of team was confident and were as good as the team he got at Bayern. This is going to be a totally different proposition.
How many new players does he need? How many players will adjust to Guardiola's kind of football? Well, half the team?
That's the big question, isn't it?
That's why I asked it.
If Pep wants to play football a completely different way than what Manchester City are playing now. And he'll have to look at players, and it could be as much as half the team. It could easily be as much as half the team.
Just off the top of your heads, which players will suit Guardiola? What do you think?
A fit company.
Yeah.
An Aguero. I think De Bruyne. I think if he buys into the intensity when they're defending from the front. I think Sterling. My most interesting bit is Sterling. Mm-hmm. I think that he's a £50 million young English talent, coveted by loads of teams around Europe before he went to Manchester City. He's going to have to be like a sponge and take in all the information. You hear about Pep Guardiola being a teacher to all these young players. I want to see Sterling take the information on and go from strength to strength, because he's been a bit part player the
last
few months.
He has to improve, doesn't he? Because in the big games, the manager goes for Navas all the time in front of him, all the time. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, because we know what Navas's, you know, records like goal scored. It can't touch Raheem's this year, but he keeps on going to him. So he has to improve somewhere down the line. And I think he'll be all right. I think David Silva will be okay. But I think that centre of the midfield, Fernandinho and Fernando, I think that will be changed, because he likes it to be more fluid. And
he likes people who can get the ball through the midfield to the front players.
He likes the Modric. He likes the Modric's and the Toni Kroos. That's what
he interests me. What interests me is, like, when you've got a new manager come in, yet he's already in another job.
Yeah.
How can he concentrate on what he needs for next season? So, do you think Guardiola's already saying to the guys at Manchester City, the people in charge there, Chicky Bergeristein, etc., do you think he's already told them, I want him, and him? Yeah. Can he do that when he's concentrating on Bayern Munich?
It's certainly a conflict of interest, isn't it? If you know, both of them have been knocked out of the semi-finals. Yeah. They could have easily met each other, but we know that they've met. That Pep and the bosses of Manchester City have met up in Amsterdam. We know that for a fact. They've told us. Yeah. We know that Gundogan's a target. He said that. You know, the Athletic Bilbao defender looks as if he's a target, because it's in the papers and it was in a lot of the news outlets today. So he must be telling them who he wants already.
There's no doubt that he's been looking at players and looking at information on all these players, their personalities, beyond just being on the pitch, training pitch, around a training ground a lot.
There's an assumption almost that he will transform things quite quickly. Is it a bigger job than perhaps he or many of us think?
I think it's the hardest job he'll have. I think it's a lot harder to transform Manchester City than it has been with Bayern Munich. Of course, we fully expect Carlo Ancelotti to take over Bayern Munich and win the league and win the cup and get really far in the Champions League. So I think it's a big job for Pep. I really do. But I can't wait to see it.
There's no doubting he is the most innovative coach of this era, if not ever seen, because he's transformed the way a lot of people think about football. Passing, the movement, the cohesion up front, the almost bringing the fake number nine back in with Messi that he'd done before at Barcelona. So he's got loads of ideas. It's now about transforming that into a team that isn't confident. Remember, he went into a Bayern Munich team that won the treble.
Yeah,
he's gone into a team now that may not qualify for the Champions League, knocked out of the Champions League in the semis. So it's a different proposition altogether.
He's also got to contend with Antonio Conte coming in at Chelsea, or possibly a managerial change at Manchester United. Two huge clubs with huge amounts of financial power, and they'll all be vying for the same type of players.
So the best players.
The best players. And he'll have a really hard job, because Chelsea will want to step
it's
forward
interesting,
again.
Though, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's fascinating. It's going to be an incredible season come August. Vincent Kompany is an integral part of Manchester City for many years, but he keeps breaking down. That'll be a concern as well. We saw it again this evening. I've really felt for him, I must say.
You really felt for him, because it's not the calf injury, is it? And as Rio said, it happened with me as well. You sort of start getting pains in your calf, so you start compensating for other parts, and then you start getting muscle injuries elsewhere. And I just hope he's all right. He's got he's got the Euros to go to as well, if he's fit and well. So it's just an awful, awful part of the season.
There's nothing worse than being injured, is there?
It's a dark place sometimes, and there's obviously, he'll be sitting at home listening to people criticising. Is he gone? Is he over the hill? They're the type of questions that people will be asking. He won't miss that. He'll be seeing that, and it's something that hurts. He takes you into some place where you think, well, am I going to get back? Am I going to be the same player?
Of course. I mean, he's sure to have those doubts. Overall, the tactical aspects of Manchester City's play, Steve. I mean, we saw Aguero dropping deep. He wasn't in the box hardly at all in the entire match.
He cut a frustrated character today, didn't he? He wasn't getting enough of the ball in the danger areas. I mentioned that at half-time, they were not quick enough today, Manchester City. I don't know whether it was the occasion, the heat, whatever it was. They were not on it today, and they were not as quick as they should have been.
But him being there, Sergio Ramos and Pepe would have been preparing to play up against him all game.
All day.
Him being there is like music to their ears. They must have been sitting there thinking, thank you very much, sir. No. You keep getting the ball there. You have as many touches as you want. You're not hurting me from there.
I mean, obviously at that stage, Iheanacho come on. Do you think that was a managerial direction for Aguero to drop deep?
Surely not.
Yeah, but you want a goal.
He's the best around. Put the ball in the back of the net. Nothing went over the top, just to turn the Real Madrid defence. Everything was in front of them. And even Luka Modric and Toni Kroos, you see them, they were like, we're fine, you can do it. Nothing was going through them at all.
Do you think as Ronaldo's powers, which must inevitably wane at some point, will be perhaps in a it's kind of strange way good for Gareth Bale? He can take over that mantle.
Do you know what it's like? I keep talking about Man United, but when Roy Keane left, you saw some of the young guys at the club flourish, be able to breathe, be able to move, and not think that someone else older is looking down on them, looking to pinpoint things in their game or the way they're walking around a training ground. And it feels like maybe that could be a little bit of the case here. Yeah. He wouldn't admit that, but sometimes subconsciously that's the way it is sometimes. And when Ronaldo does eventually leave, he maybe will be the one to flow.
The only thing is that Ronaldo might be here for the next 3-4 years.
Well, exactly. I mean, watching from up here, which you quite see, there is this thing that the players, I think, look to Ronaldo to give it to him, because they're probably quite scared not to give it to him.
If he's anywhere near them, they always pass him the ball, don't they? Yeah. Always pass him the ball.
But when you're scoring 50 odd goals a season, you deserve
you can
that,
do that.
On Tuesday, Diego Simeone's Atletico Madrid took a one-goal advantage to the Bayern Munich's Allianz Arena as Pep Guardiola prepared for one last shot at the only major trophy that has eluded him during his stint in Bavaria. Here's more of the best bits with Owen Hargreaves joining us in the studio.
Xabi Alonso! Oh, it's in! It's the start that Bayern Munich wanted! Big moment here for Griezmann, and he keeps his cool and scores! It's the away goal for Atletico Madrid to silence the Allianz Arena and put them in complete control of the game. Vidal's waiting in the middle. Vidal reached it, and they're back in it! And maybe it's not all over for Bayern Munich, because Robert Lewandowski has just notched his 39th goal of the season. The referee blows the full-time whistle, and Atletico Madrid are through to their third Champions League final.
Fernando, first of all, huge congratulations to you and your team. That looked intense. How was it for you?
Very intense, and we're so proud of this team and this group of players, and it's fully deserved. We have beat some of the best team in Europe in the way until the final, and now it's just one step closer, the dream we all have.
Two very different halves. They were in control in the first half. The second one, you seem to pull it back and have more opportunities. It was much more open.
Yeah, sometimes when you play against a super team like Bayern Munich, you cannot play the game you want. And you could see in the first half, we couldn't find the way to press them high, to try to stop the transition. They play so quick, and at the end we did one step back, and they created a lot of chances. They were under control, and we suffer a lot. So what we wanted to do in the second half is the opposite, try to press them really high, try to regain the ball and have the chance to have counter-attacks, and this is the way we get the goal. And then at the end it was similar in the first half. They pushed so much, and we couldn't handle them pressing high, and I think the most important thing is when in the final the fans, they saw a really, really intense game, and this is football.
Well, Atletico Madrid have done it again. Bayern Munich couldn't find a way through at the end. A thrilling game of football. 2-2, but away goals, the decider once again. Atletico Madrid will play in their second final in 3 years. Of course, they lost a couple of years ago against Real Madrid when they won La Decima. But they'll get another chance this time. But no UEFA Champions League trophy with Bayern Munich for Pep Guardiola. Much to celebrate for the Atletico Madrid players, and they just get it done somehow, don't they, Ria?
Yeah, we were talking during the game, sucker punch kings, this Atletico Madrid team are. The way they played, they're very controlled, very, very calm defending. But when they get chances, you've got the likes of Griezmann. You need star men to step up at moments like this. He touched the ball 6 times in the first half, got a chance, bang, goal. That's why they're in the final. Clinical, very, very, very assured defensively. And they understood what they had to do today, and they've done it to a man.
Owen, talking about Bayern Munich there, massive disappointment for your former club. They'll be distraught.
Well, they will, but I thought they put in an exceptional performance. I thought it was a great performance from both teams. Atletico in the first half got absolutely, completely overrun. That second half, they just invested a little bit more energy pressing the ball, kept the ball better. And as Rio said, Griezmann on the counter-attack. You make one mistake defensively, Atletico is the team to punish you. I thought Bayern were by far the better team in terms of playing. But this, as Rio said, that Atletico team, they got a sucker punch in the bag. And boy, did they take that opportunity when it came their way. But this game had everything. It was just a great advertisement for the Champions League.
I mean, the percentages in terms of ball possession, etc., Rio, I mean, how do they manage to get these results, given the fact that they don't have very much of the ball at all?
You know what it is? When you sit in that change room and you look around and you think, you know what, defensively, the way this manager sets us up, I trust each and every individual. Griezmann, our star man, he's going to be on the edge of our box at times, defending with us. We're all going to buy into what the manager wants. They're 28% possession today in this game overall. But what they know, and they look around the dressing room, is there's people, when they do get the ball in the danger area, when they haven't had the ball for a long time, they've got the quality to take that moment.
Well, the goal that decided it was beautifully taken by Griezmann. Do we think it was onside, offside?
Oops, I think it's
I'd
on.
Say level
it
there, level, offside, yeah. But that's which thing. Is good. You but don't want to decide.
No, definitely not.
This is the problem. When this is the way you play against a team like Bayern Munich and the former team of Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. You've got to just make sure that you defend as well as you can and just know that there's going to get that one opportunity in the game to take it. You need your man to do that, we said before. But we spoke before about that tactically about this Bayern team is that defensively, they overcompensate going forward because they really believe in what they're doing. Pep Guardiola's got a philosophy of the way he plays. Put bodies forward, put the other team under pressure. But the problem is, if you leave the back door open, as I said, against teams of this quality at this stage of the tournament, you get hurt.
It's funny, you know with certain individuals, when they've got that much time, that much space, that much time to think going through one-on-one with a goalkeeper, there are some players you think they won't score, but there are others you think he will score. And Griezmann's one of those, isn't he?
He's on his way to being a superstar. And imagine, I mean, he's got 30 goals in all comps, but Rio said he had 6 touches in the first half. 6.
Yeah.
I mean, the Champions League semi-final.
That's because they couldn't get outside their own box.
Exactly. So, but they were able to keep the ball better. But he, as you said, you know, 6 touches, but he still stayed calm, composed. Mm. When that opportunity came, he just took it.
You know what it's all about, don't you? And it means so much, doesn't it, as we saw from the emotions at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I said last week that one of my best feelings on a football pitch was a semi-final win, because it's almost a relief. We're there. Now we've got a chance to really settle in and think about lifting the trophy at some point. Yeah. And it becomes real. And you're 90 minutes away, maybe 120, if it goes that far, from lifting that beautiful trophy. And the feeling that gives you is if you could bottle it, you'd be a billionaire.
But the feeling of losing a semi-final and 3 semi-finals on the bounce is, I mean, it's too tough to describe in many ways.
It is, especially after that first half. Bayern Munich were exceptional. They almost played the perfect half. Müller could have made it 2-0, misses a penalty. And this Atletico Madrid team, they keep themselves in games. You know, they did. They were really second best in every aspect. But they just found a way to do it, you know. And this team, as much as they probably didn't play the most attractive football today, they found a way to win games. And it's a real testament to these players and the coaches.
Let me ask you both. Why does it work with Atletico Madrid? What is it? Is it organisation? Is it spirit? Is it togetherness? Is it a mixture of all three?
I think it's you have to have everything. You have to have an understanding of what the manager wants. You've got to buy into that philosophy. And once you've got that, you've got to have the special players to go and execute. Right. So you've got Godin at the back, you've got a goalkeeper who's setting records now, and you've got Griezmann up front, who, when you get the opportunity arises, he finishes. But at the same time, you've got, as Rowan says, at half-time, they could have easily lost this game because things were going against them. The penalty, the goal, they were down. But they gathered themselves and came back out. And the manager earned his crust, I'd say, at half-time.
I think they're the opposite of Real Madrid and Barcelona, Bayern Munich. They don't want to play. You know, they're just happy to drop in. They know teams want 70% possession. They know that teams commit, the full-backs and centre-backs like to play. And every time they beat these teams, you think about Barcelona, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, they almost always beat these teams because I think the teams commit too many players forward. Yeah. And Atletico have, you know, the recipe to punish these teams.
You know what, as well, I think some people and some teams, they look down their nose at performances like that. They look down their nose at teams that want to come and defend and roll their sleeves up. And that's a technical part of the game, to be able to defend properly. Now, if you put that into the way Barcelona play, defensively, they don't give up much goals, but they give up chances. That's the difference. Yeah. And at this level, the chances you get, teams punish you. They and today was a fine example of that. They played some beautiful, exquisite football, but one mistake, goal.
It was a wonderful game of football, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you couldn't help but marvel at the way that Bayern played at times in this game. The passing, the fluidity, the cohesion between the players, the width that they were stressing in this game, and the delivering balls into the box with bodies in there to create confusion for the Atletico defence. But you have to, again, admire it, the same kind of stance and same strength, the way that this team was able to kind of sponge that all up, to take it all in.
They certainly did. And Lewandowski's goal certainly livened things up towards the end, though, didn't it?
Then you just saw from then, this game on, they just, you know, I think if you get crosses in against any team that defends really well, as Rio said, it causes a little bit of chaos, and that did there. really good quality, and Bayern were back in it.
I think Vidal's energy and the maturity of the way he played today was one of the things that stood out for me for the Bayern team. Really impressed with them.
Yeah. They're under pressure now. One more goal from Bayern. They're at home. The crowd's behind them. There's, what, 15 minutes to go or something. That's when Atleti just seem to manage it out so well, don't they?
I think it's almost like a position where they're sitting there going, we know we're going to get a chance. Sometimes at United, we'd be sometimes pinned back in that, but I'd always think I'm going to get a chance. And that puts so much confidence in me that defend well and we can win this game. And the confidence you get from that, and here they're giving up a couple of chances, but half chances only. Yeah. But the confidence that these boys, you can see from a defensive position to turn defence into attack, and the transitions being so quick, is training ground stuff. This is drilled. This ain't by luck. This ain't by chance just having decent players. This is being drilled on a training pitch week in, week out.
I'd say for Old Black, he's been very solid. Not spectacular, but did his work.
Look, I think he's a top keeper. I think he's proven that everywhere he's been. And he just made the saves he had to. I think Coleman lacked a little bit of composure in some crucial moments, but Pep just can't believe it. That first half was exceptional.
Yeah.
But they're still going out.
Mm. We have to remember as well that Atletico had a penalty. Probably shouldn't have been a penalty. It was definitely outside the box. It was earned by Torres and missed by Torres.
He's one of the best refs in the game, but that's a poor decision. He's outside the box.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely outside the box.
And they get that one wrong.
I think that was a difference in the second half, that they were on top of a Barca a little bit more in terms of the first, especially the early part of the second half.
I wonder if Lahm covered his view at all.
That's never a foul. Similar penalty to Muller in the first half.
We saw two awful penalties, didn't we? Really bad penalties, lacking a little bit of conviction. But again, two good keepers making saves in crucial moments.
Mm. Yeah. Simeone, I think he's quite happy. It's the first time I've seen him smile for a while. He's gripped with emotion during the game, as is often the case. He's wandering around, yes, we did it, yes!
I told you,
probably
I told
in Spanish,
you.
But...
Yeah. He's someone who looks like a man who's got pure belief in what he's given his team, the information that he's given to his team, the tactics. He believes in that 100%, it looks.
Does he get enough credit? I mean, Guardiola, we talk all the time, don't we, about this genius that is Guardiola, that he prepares his team, that he's brought in tiki-taki football and all those kind of things. His football may not be as enjoyable, but, boy, is it successful.
I'm getting bored of people talking about possession football and all this attacking football. You know, there's only one ball on the pitch. Do you know what I mean? So you can't always have the ball. I think you need to find a way to be effective without the ball. Leicester City have done that in the Premier League. They've done an incredible job. And Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, they're that team. You know, that everybody wants 70% possession. They can have 35 and still be some of the best teams in the world.
You know the problem with this? That eventually everyone work out that's the secret to success and no one will want the ball. Well, no, just leave it in the middle of the pitch.
Well, maybe just be defensively organised and, you know, and you give yourself a chance, like Atletico.
Overall thoughts on Pep Guardiola? Does this damage his reputation as a coach, the fact that he's not managed to win the Champions League or even get to a final with Bayern Munich?
Well, I think in black and white, yes, it does. But I think the people that come here regularly and watch this Bayern Munich team, they will have seen a top-class team for the last three seasons. Yeah. But from Pep Guardiola's point of view, he will be disappointed because that only enhances the criticism or any questions that might be labelled against him. Obviously, he won it twice with a team that were almost unbeatable at the time. So I think it will damage him a little bit.
But this is the argument I'm having with all my mates, etc., and probably us guys in here, is that do you want to bring someone in to improve the way you play football over winning trophies?
He's done both, though. I mean, he's only the
but he hasn't improved on what was before him.
The guy not in terms of trophies.
Yeah, the guy
he
came in on before had won, he won the treble, won the Champions League at Leeds, and he hasn't improved on that in terms of trophies. They've improved drastically the way they've played football. It's evolved. The brand of football is beautiful. That's a brand in itself, but at the end of the day, the guy sitting in the change room, if you were sitting in there and you haven't won, but you've improved as a player and you understand the game a bit more, but you haven't got the trophies you want, would you be happy? I wouldn't.
But I think people forget, football's a game about small margins, you know. Yeah. Winning second balls, that's not about coaching, that's about effort, you know. And I just think those things maybe Bayern don't do as well as they possibly could. In the first half, they absolutely destroyed the Atletico Madrid team, but Atletico Madrid had a response. They started to win second balls, and those things add up in a football game. They lead to other things happening on the football pitch. And I just think they could... Their style of football is beautiful to watch, but they don't do the little... I don't think they do the little things well.
Will he transform Manchester City? Will he turn them around? Will he make them a better team?
Without question.
It's different in the English league, though, isn't it?
I've spoken to a lot of the players of Bayern Munich, and they've been blessed to have some of the greatest coaches we've seen in the game, and they all said he is by far the best tactical coach there is. You know, he puts pictures in your brain, even for some of the top players, and helps you to get better. And I think the lads love that. He will make Manchester City better. He will make them better in possession, out of possession. But as we saw today, you know, as Rio was saying, there's always a little bit of space at the back. That counter-attack, and teams expose that.
I agree. I think he'll make them better wholly, definitely. And what's great about him, he's not only a manager, he's more than that, he's like a teacher. When you listen to the guys that he's coached over the years, he's like a teacher. He's given you detail in the game, and details at this level win a lot of football matches.
The final, Real Madrid against Atletico Madrid. Since the final 2 years ago, when obviously Real Madrid came from the very brink of defeat to beat them 4-1, Atletico have only lost on one occasion since then. We see that April 2015.
Yeah, but they've certainly got, you know, a sign over Real Madrid, haven't they? And maybe the way they play, it doesn't suit Real Madrid at all. I'd like them to win. I really would, Real Madrid, because I'm not a huge fan of Atletico Madrid. I must admit. So
That was his own man as well. I know, it was his own man.
That's one of 20 things in the last Champions League final. He ran on and hit Varane, didn't he, Diego Simeone? So I'm not a huge fan of him. I admire the fact that they defend very well, but the way they win games, I'd rather not to be.
It's going
to
be an interesting game because the styles, again, contrasting styles. One team are going to be on the front foot attacking, the other team are going to be sitting there stubborn, as we saw yesterday and over the leg before against Bayern. So this Atletico Madrid team, as much as people say, oh, they're this, that, and they're ugly to watch, you have to respect the way that they go about their business.
They're very, very tough to beat, aren't they? Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, they're very tough to beat. But as a football purist, I'd much rather, you know, it's not lovely defending like the Milan sides or the great Juventus sides. This is a different dark trick situation with Simeone.
It will certainly be quite an occasion. The whole of Madrid will be going to the San Siro. Rio, thanks very much. Steve, thank you very much. Well, that's it from us. Once again, we have an all Madrid final, but Manchester City, I'm afraid, will have to wait for another year. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Champions League podcast. We'll be back again after the final for more of the best insight and analysis. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.